this is going to be great.
Welcome to the White House Pod with David A.R. White.
All right, let's talk about Trisha Love Vargas. Trisha Love, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Okay, let's just start at this very beginning. Let's just talk about your hair.
Oh, thank you.
Goodness gracious. Is that natural? Like, have we always had such a mane of...
That is a great intro. Actually, I just opened LA Style House, which is our beauty bar downtown LA, where you can get your hair extensions, makeup, all the other good stuff. It's an extension to LA Style magazine. So, no, this is not all
my
hair.
By the way, she runs LA Style magazine. We're going to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, but, so these are extensions, but thank you very much.
Wow. Well, yes. Those look amazing. You look like walked out of like a some kind of a period movie where their hair is always absolutely perfect and very flowing.
Thank you. Tresemme commercial. There we go. Panty Pro-V.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about this. Okay, because you got this LA Style magazine here. First of all, you're from Queens.
Yes, I was born in Queens.
Okay. And then you were raised in Orlando, Florida?
Yes.
That seems to be a thing. A lot of people come down from New York to Florida, especially during the pandemic. I met so many people from New York there.
Yeah. So my parents were a bit like, well, my grandparents, I should say. The West Side Story, we're all familiar. Like, right, they were all from the island, from Puerto Rico, and then they did that big movement to New York. And
did they dance when they did it?
I think so. I mean, I think that they were doing some salsa throughout their transition. But that's how I was born in Queens and raised in Florida. We moved there when I was 8, me and my mom.
Okay. And how was that growing up in Orlando, Florida? I'm actually headed to Orlando, Florida next week. But was Disneyland Disney World as big there?
So my aunt worked there and may she rest in peace. But it was quite a thing. I felt like I was an unofficial tour guide for Disney World every time family would come in from New York. And here's a small world. And, you know, like I knew every inch of that place.
Did you have like a lifetime pass or did they make you buy a season ticket or did they even have season tickets back then?
Well, we got in because like when people worked there.
Amazing
you get...
hair. Like,
No, you got to bring in friends or family like a certain amount. So like that was how I went there all the time.
Okay.
It's quite an amazing perk, actually, when you think about it.
Wait a second. How does that work?
I don't know if it's still the way it was, but back in the day, you'd get a certain amount of tickets for friends and family or family.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, they have all these season passes. I don't even know if they have the season passes any longer. After the pandemic, I lost track of... I have children, and so we went to Disneyland a lot here, and then, you know, the pandemic hits, and then they mail your stuff back. Eventually, they mail your cards back and say, yeah, you're no longer going to need these because we've been closed for so long.
Right.
Anyway, so when was the last time you were at Disney World?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question.
Have you taken Xavier?
Yes. So I guess it must have been within, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Disney. Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay. Mm-hmm. So growing up in Orlando, what is your favorite? When did you move out of Orlando? How old were you?
So I moved out. That's a great question. I went to college in Miami, and I don't know. I guess I must have been like 19 or something or 20.
Did you go to college like for design or for fashion or or like how to run a magazine? Like what?
So I got my associate's in Orlando for business marketing management. And then I went down to Miami for there's a school called the Art Institute, Miami International University of Art and Design. And I was studying fashion design and I was there for almost a year. And then I miraculously conceived my son on birth control, and that's where my life changed.
Wow.
Yeah. I say that because it's a really big piece.
You were young,
honestly,
right?
I wasn't going to have him.
You were young, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then how were you out of college then?
No, I was in college.
No, I know, but did you leave college then, or did you stay in college and have a child and
right.
do the whole thing?
So I essentially fast-forward the story. That's how I ended up in L.A. Me and my son's father moved out here when I was about 6 months pregnant, and I continued to study for a bit. And then after that, I withdrew from the school I enrolled in L.A. Shortly after I gave birth to my son. And then within 6 months, I started my first company.
And what was your first company called?
LA Style House.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's been on hiatus a bit in the back burner because the magazine's taken the forerunner.
Yeah, because, okay, so you started LA Style House with the hair extensions and the hair and, like, I mean, was it, because now you actually have a location, right?
Yeah. Okay. We have a physical location. So, when I started it initially, it was a boutique styling agency. So it was by appointment only, and I would style people, whether it was like on a personal basis or I did some like set style, like network styling. And that was like me getting my feet wet in the industry. And
I could have used you. I could use some help about styling, by the way. And so could you guys, FYI.
Yeah. So
she was thinking that as she walked in. I mean, that's everybody probably always thinks of that when you're like, I have the LA Style House. Like, they're like, oh, wow.
As long as you're comfortable in what you wear, then it shines through. But that's what we did. And then I started doing events to get more clients. Like, I wanted to get more clients. So that's where the evolution really evolved, because it was on the ground floor of a building downtown that had a beautiful rooftop. So I approached the owner and I said, listen, you have occupancy and I want more clients. Let me do these events. And that's where I started doing these mixer art shows on the rooftop. And that's where LA Style House, that's where I really started to build connections.
How did you, okay, were you good at events like from high school? Like, were
I'd
you putting high
events.
School events on? Or
no.
Like, when did you start? Like, what was
when
your
I
first
approached
event?
Him.
That was it?
Yeah. First and we'd have 300 people every third Wednesday.
I mean, did you have like
that would come out?
Okay, but before that, did you have like where did this chip come in you? You know, because it's like throw a party is not a. I was a DJ for a little while somewhere in my late 20s when my acting career was careening and, and what I needed money and then I whatever anyway. But it's an art form to throw a good party and to have a good event. And so what was the thing inside of you that said, oh, hey, you know what? I could do this.
I mean, honestly, what it started as is like I did a grand opening because I opened LA Style House again. It was by appointment only, but it was a storefront on the street. And then we had our loft that was upstairs. Anyway, what triggered the idea of events was we had a grand opening on the rooftop. And I had a girlfriend who was like really passionate about AIDS Awareness Month. I forget what the organization is. So that was like kind of like the beneficiary we were raising awareness for. And we brought together all these people. And I was just like, wow, this is amazing. Like, if I could bring this many people together on a reoccurring basis, I should be able to build this LA Style House name. So that's where the thought came from, the first event that I did. And then we continued to do it. I did it almost for 7 months. Every month, 300 people would come. I'd have a live performance. I'd have restaurants that would essentially in-kind donate food. The building would provide, you know, the drinks. So it just all came together. It was a pop-up art show.
Now, the folks that would be attending this, now, were they people who needed hair extensions? Were they,
no.
You know, what were they? I mean, like what was the who was targeted in the fact
right.
that, you know, like was Roger Neal targeted?
he should you know, have been. You should
I,
have been.
I don't know that I should have been. What year is this, by the
Maybe
way?
Maybe you have an
context?
Invite in your inbox.
what year was this?
This is 2000 and was it 2012.
Okay.
So what I did was I understood
yeah, I
that
have been targeted at
no
2012. No, I don't know.
What I did was I understood that like people that I wanted to style, right? And at that point we weren't doing hair extensions. This is a new thing, but it was just like wardrobe, hair, makeup. They had to have a certain income and they had to have a certain budget for that, right? Because otherwise it's not a target client. So when I approached the owner, I said, "Listen, let me put on these shows. It's called City of Angels Art in the Sky. I'll target the financial district," because his building was like right next to the financial district downtown LA. I was like, that's my target demographic. And clearly that's
did you have,
yours.
By the way, did you have art for that city? What was it called? City Angels in the
City
Sky?
City of Angels Art in the Sky. It was just like a theme name that we came up
with.
What
a great
with.
Name.
Thank you.
That I would love to see the art that, you know, had yeah. that name because it's such a cool name.
Yeah. Thank you.
That should
you.
Be like on a mural somewhere.
Right?
I think so.
It's
super
really
cool.
Good. So I would literally take every magazine that I would find and I would highlight like the editors, and then I would invite all of them, and I would print flyers and put them in every single newspaper downtown. I would get into like the really nice buildings downtown and I like slip them underneath people's doors. Like, I'd call the receptionists in buildings and be like, hey, I'm inviting your floor. Like, oh, I'm inviting your floor. Skip traffic hour. Come, you know, have some wine and network. So I was like really looking for them.
Do you still do those events? Because I'm looking for my invite right now. Dylan seems to, he can't seem to be finding.
June 22nd at the Grammy Museum.
Ah, well, that's
there
like,
we go.
That's even better. Well, we have to segue to that.
Yeah,
first of all, okay, so, all right, we'll put a pin in this story for a minute. How, that's pretty cool, though. How did you, what prompted you to then start or take over LA Style magazine? Like, how do you bring that back? How does someone bring a magazine back?
Yeah.
Especially given where we're at now with online media and everything else. Like, I mean, I'm looking at your magazines here going, I would like to read those.
Nice. Thank you.
It should be on my mantle.
It should be your coffee table. Well, thank you. That's one of my favorite questions, because it really gets to give me an opportunity to point back to God. When I was doing those events, they were almost for a year every month. It was very, I burnt out, to tell you the truth. I mean, my son was like maybe two.
Wow.
So I
felt, is it hard raising a child in Los Angeles?
It has its moments, but it's been the most rewarding. Like, I wouldn't have done anything that I've done today if it wasn't for him, because he's been my motivation, like wanting to build a legacy for him, something that he can like continue to do and offer him something. But I did those events. I burnt out. I felt really lost in the busyness. And I was just like, and the relationship with my son's father had fallen apart. So I just felt like lost in the doing. And I've always been a believer. Obviously, I left for a certain time during adolescence and just had my whole experience. But God has always been the center of my life and really my purpose. And I rededicated my life to the Lord when I had my son. So I was on a new journey with him. So in feeling lost in the busyness, I went back to my prayer time and was like, okay, God, like, what is life about? Like, I'm doing these things and they sound really cool and I'm progressing in my career, but I feel empty. Like, there's no purpose to what I'm doing. Why am I bringing 300 people together every month if nobody's finding out about you? Like, I maybe only talk one-on-one with two people because I'm so busy, like, during the event. So where are people really finding out about you? And I remember I went back to go see my mom, and it was like Thanksgiving. And she opened the door, and I'll lead with saying, because I don't want people to like, you know, she's healthy today and it's a praise report and she's great. But in that moment, she was very sick. She was 88 pounds when she opened the door. And I was like, and she was on a treatment that she had been on. When I was in high school, she also was like, I almost lost her too. So God's had his hand on her, you know, many times. But the point is that she didn't tell me because she didn't want to distract me from what I was doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? She's like, oh, I just, you know, didn't want to detour you. So in that moment, I remember I started a prayer that I prayed for almost a year consistently, and it led with gratitude. And I'm like, God, thank you so much for the experiences I've had in my life that I didn't even know I could do events or that we could do these things. I'm grateful, but I feel really empty. Please let me know what my purpose is. I want to have a global impact to share your love and light with the world. And I prayed that for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back to LA. I stood in Florida for quite some time, probably like 7 months or something. And during that time, thankfully, my mom got better. My aunt ended up passing away. So it was like another like life-altering experience. Like, dang, like life is not promised. And I came back to LA. I opened the scripture, was saying the same prayer again, reading, and it dropped in my spirit, LA Style Magazine. And it was his answer.
Okay, so how long have we been running this?
So that was in 2015.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And we put out how many, is it once every month or once a year? How often does LA Style Magazine come out?
Yeah, so we've continually had an online presence, so there's articles that go up all the time. But as far as print is concerned, we have essentially consistently done like one per year, has been how we've gone about it. And I think there may have been instances where there was a couple times we did two per year. And now we're firm on the one per year, and it's actually in the form of a hardcover coffee table book.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you. And it only, you know, it's a lineup of the most influential people of that year. So it's highly coveted. It brings together great leaders and then industry leaders who can essentially join our network and sponsor being featured alongside others if they qualify.
And now you do an award show every year.
This is our first.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. What led that? Like, how do you, I mean, what goes on in this brain of yours? Is it just kind of like a prayer? Meaning like you go up on a mountain. I have these writers of ours that they go up on a mountain and pray. We ask them, hey, can you write this? And they're like, great, we'll be back with you. We're going to go up on a mountain and pray.
And, I would love to go to a mountain.
Well, yeah, as much as that's nice to hear, except the fact that we're like, are you still on the mountain? Or, we don't know whether they're really going on a mountain or they're just, we're on
in
a
theory,
mountain, but, and we're praying whether or not we're supposed to come back down and write what you're asking us to do. So is it similar or where do you have your devotionals or your prayer times? Is it like in a closet? Is it on a mountain? Is it out in your backyard? Is it in your front yard?
Like yeah.
Or is it in your car?
For quite some time, I was doing it just in my living room, but now I am doing it like in a separate room, actually in my room, so that way I could have a closed space and it just feels a little bit more intimate in that setting. And my thing is, I remember my journey like probably like a year ago. I was like, I always believed in the Lord, but I really consider myself like a super lukewarm Christian. Like I'd still go out on Fridays and like party pretty hard and then like, still go to church on Sundays. But I felt like I wasn't doing what everybody else in the world was doing. Like I wasn't doing drugs so I could go out and like celebrate a little bit, like drink and have a good time. But so about a year ago, I was like, I really want to start living a life that has a lifestyle that reflects you. So my thing was like, I literally said out loud, 10 minutes a day keeps the enemy away. Like I'm committing to reading the Bible 10 minutes a day in the morning. So that's like what my devotional time looks like. Like 99% of the time, I take at least 10 minutes to read the scripture. I literally set a timer to be disciplined and then spend some time
in
prayer.
Is this like an early morning thing or do you wake up, have breakfast and then do it? Or do you wake up, breakfast, work out, then do it? Like where does it fall normally?
My goal is for it to be the first thing I do when I wake up, before I eat, before I go to the gym. It doesn't always happen. And if I missed it, like at least I'll try to figure out 10 minutes. So my goal really is to give him the first 10 minutes of the day.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So
all right, so then the magazine, the award show came out of what? Did it come out of prayer time or did it come or was it, hey, so many people are asking for this?
Like No, I do believe it came out of prayer time. It had like, I like to say that and I spoke to a pastor about it to kind of give me a little bit of clarity because I'm like very much into like the power of imagination and manifestation. But I found myself kind of near like veering toward like more of the like new age type of thing. And I'm like, I know there's power in this and I know it comes from the scripture, but how do I manifest with God? So that's what I like to say is what I do. Like it's manifesting with God. Like, Lord, let your will be done. Like, speak to me, give me these ideas. So when I do get these ideas, I do give him credit because he's opening the door and, making a way. And the LA Style Annual Award Show, this is the first one. It's happening at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. So the venue is just, absolute excellence.
Yeah.
And it's within their Clive Davis Theater. And we have...
how cool is that? Like, how do we decide that?
I scouted out various locations and just
You're
thought,
like a producer brain, like creator, entrepreneur, like hairstylist. if somebody actually has to sum you up, which is we have a sum up, but this is why you can't like do it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
That's true. Well, I'm going to switch now. She's also just on the off chance that we didn't know, doing all this. You wrote a book.
Right. And but can I say something about the awards? Because you're coming.
I am coming to this.
High five.
I did get a, I got an invite and
you're
I am
in
showing
issue.
Up.
You're
I'm in the issue
yes,
too.
Yes, you're in the most influential issue.
Wow.
I mean, come on. God's not dead. Like,
yeah,
this
well,
is
thank
like
you.
Huge.
Oh, that's.
Yes, for the kingdom and what you're doing. And like
blessed.
Your vision is phenomenal. So, of course, we're honored to have you.
Thank you.
The award show is, like I said, June 22nd. If anybody's interested, plug. You can go to. Oh, sorry. That's my timer. I don't know what that was.
Did your own time run out? Was your plug running out? I like that she sets her own plug of like, okay, I got.
LAStyleAwards.org. Okay, guys. And we have Robert Hetrovic from Shark Tank coming. He's receiving his award.
That's awesome.
Jamie Kern Lima, she sold her business for over $1 billion and became the first female CEO in L'Oreal history.
She's right up there almost with you.
Not yet. So those are just some of the headliners that are coming. Devon Franklin sharing his testimony, receiving awards. So very, very exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah, that's I totally just plugged it in there, but thank you.
Well, that's okay. We could still plug it more if you'd like. No, it's actually amazing, and there's never enough time in these things. By the way, you know, you just kind of talk, and then you have to like go on to something else, and you're segueing, but where do people get your magazine though?
LA Style Magazine.
Do you have to live in Los Angeles to pick up the hard copy?
You can order it. So it's like very much like a book. So you can order your coffee table book online.
It's beautiful.
You'd like. Thank you.
I want to see. Can you shuffle that over here? Can I touch it?
Yeah. So I'll just show you. This is like our history.
Yeah. I love that. And it's like hardcover too.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. Very cool.
Thank you. So the book, I'm actually doing in the form of a hardcover, too.
Okay, so we're going to your book, which is Royalty, the Scripture Unveiled. Okay, so what
in
the
world? I brought a little print demo. Yeah.
I'm fascinated with this magazine. I'm going to take this home and read it.
Thank you.
And it's going to go on my coffee table. That's a beautiful, beautiful.
So yeah, this is like very much in tune with.
Hold on, I gotta wait one more second. Do you call this LA Style Magazine or LA Style Book? Because it's hard copy, right? It's like a book.
It is, but it's the LA Style Magazine. Yeah.
Okay, because those are magazines. This is
right. It's just soft cover that I brought in some from
those are beautiful
back in
too.
The day.
Wow.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, we're on to your book.
Yes.
Is this your first book ever written?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. So
do you journal a lot? Is that where it comes out of? Or what was the, were you on a mountain or in a backyard? Or where did this one?
Came through prayer time for sure. But I think so. This is like, it's the first of its kind. I haven't found another out there. If anybody has another out there, excuse me, please let me know. But I haven't. So this is like, it's fashion photography mixed with scripture that's put into affirmations.
Wow.
So like, it's either direct scripture and it says it, or it says that it's adapted from and it puts it in first person. Because again, the scripture is there and like the secret and all these other things, they're wonderful. They're powerful principles, but they're rooted in the scripture. Like the word manifest is in the Bible, I think over 140 times in different variations. Like you manifest your healing, like all these other things, like that's where it comes from. So this book is to help women see themselves as the queens that God has created them to be, for them to walk in their power. I even give like a little intro, so it has my testimony that's about 10 pages, and then even an intro of how do you really activate this power, because it's one thing to just manifest and say random things, but you want to be manifesting God's will in your life, and the way to do that is by submitting your life to him, because otherwise you just be calling in whatever and then like I don't want that. So it's powerful proclamations. Do you want me to read one?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I'll read.
I love it.
I'll read a prayer, okay? Because this one's a prayer.
Yeah.
You see the fashion photography?
Yeah. And who's the picture on the left?
So I've actually been working on this for almost 6 years.
Okay.
It's been on the back burner and I've kind of dabbled in it. But they're actual images that I've hand selected and gone ahead and purchased that work. They're like stock images that work to bring the scriptures to life.
Okay. And they kind of go along with the whole LA style, everything.
Yeah. So this one is, so a lot of the book is based on Esther, right? And the anointing and the favor and things of that, to walk in that calling. So it says, "A Time to Be Bold" is the headliner, and then it leads with the scripture. It's Esther 4:14. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." And then the prayer says, "Dear Lord, help me to be bold like Esther, to operate in the authority in which you have positioned me to have. I pray that your will be done in my life and shine through everything I do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
Mm. I love that. Well, I think we should just close. But we can't close yet because we don't want to close yet.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
That's actually wonderful. It's okay, so where do people get the book?
So currently it's available available for pre-order. They will be releasing in late summer after the main event, but meaning the award show. But yeah, you just go to trishalove.com, specifically/royalty, and the books are there. But if you go to trishalove.com, you'll see the book there. You can click on it.
How did you get your name?
So my dad wanted my first name actually to be Love, and my mom won that one. She was just like, no way. And I got Trisha, or in Spanish is Tricia, and then she actually got that from a soap opera. But my middle name...
She's like, no way with Love. Let me take this soap opera name.
But Love got put in the middle as my middle name.
It's a great name. I was wondering whether you just made that up when you got to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
And then Vargas, obviously. That's your... do you speak Spanish pretty good?
Sí, hablo español.
Yeah.
Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a real Puerto Rican.
Like New Yorican. There's a difference. Meaning that there's so much more cultured. Like Puerto Ricans from the island, like they're like Puerto Rican, you know, and we like admire them. We carry the culture.
Do you go back to Puerto Rico very often?
Last time I went was probably 2 summers ago for almost a month. It was a great experience with my mom and my son.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you sit on a beach or was there like a beach somewhere around?
Yeah, everywhere. There's beautiful beaches. Yeah.
I still haven't been to Puerto Rico.
Oh, you
it's ridiculous.
Go.
Yeah. I actually, my business partner went like 2 weeks ago and I was supposed to go to Puerto Rico. And then my son had basketball games. And so I was like, I think I need to be at the basketball games instead of sitting on the beach in Puerto Rico, even though that's where I secretly would have liked to have been.
Yeah, the food is so good.
All right. So what else do we do in our spare time when we're not helping everybody have amazing hair, running a magazine, doing an award show event, putting out a Bible study book? Is it a Bible study? It's not even a Bible study book. That's like a terrible...
I would call it a devotional, right? Like an affirmational devotional.
Yeah, but that's a new devotional that I've never seen before.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's like an LA-style devotional. Is it called Royalty?
Yeah, Royalty, Volume 1, The Scripture Unveiled. And then subtitle is Promises from the King of Kings to His Heirs.
How many do we have? Can we look forward to? Are we going to do one a year? Or are we going
to? So this is Volume 1, but I would like Volume 2 to actually incorporate a journal piece in it where people could actually like write in it. And then I do want to do one for the kings out there. But those would incorporate more so like really majestic animals like lions and things of that nature, but that are scriptures that are calling the men to be the kings that they're called to be.
How hard is it to be? This is a question that I always get on my social media, and I would imagine you have gotten a lot. How hard is it to be a Christian in Los Angeles in the midst of all of this? Or do you feel like God completely called you to do it in a way that he gifted you clearly in a lot of the, you know, things that make sense in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you still living here? Because you do LA Style Magazine, you know,
Yeah.
I mean, award shows are harder in, you know, wherever, if you live in Kansas.
Right.
He's from Kansas, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I am as well.
Think of the red shoes.
Yeah.
We
didn't bring ours with us. Hence, we're here.
Yellow Brick Road. Why LA? You're saying, oh my gosh. And I honestly think a part of this whole, like, what would I say, consecration season and just like...
I know you're going to say like concentration camp. I don't mean that, you know, but it's Los Angeles and we've had our rough years the last couple of years. It's not been a fun place to live here.
Yeah. The magazine, the assignment, I would say, because I rejected it for quite some time. I was like, you know, you finally God answers a prayer. You're like, no, thank you. I'm good. That was me. And I I had a partner that was helping me as the editor-in-chief in this, and now she's actually in Puerto Rico and not with us. But the point I'm trying to make is that it was a very clear assignment, and it's been progressive. So it's not like we didn't have this massive award show that we're doing now with Robert Hetcherovic and Jamie Hearn Lima and you coming and all these other people and Will Packer in the issue. I mean, it's really jam-packed. Oprah was in our last issue. It didn't happen in 2015. It's really been a journey of, like, development and just, like, the crushing of the grapes. And I'm like, God, you called me to do this. Like, where's the, you know,
yeah.
where are the riches? You know, like, this is hard. And I think it really was because God was really, like, testing and developing me. Like, even, you know, because I have been exposed here in LA to, like, this extremely glamorous life, whether it be friends or these other things. And it's like that test. Are you going to take that? Or are you going to say no to things because you know that I'm not in it? And I'm so happy to say that he has opened my eyes, my spiritual eyes. And I'm like, wow, like, it's such a new level of awakening, but it's taken these years to get there. And I started over in 2018. I started with zero, like literally zero. I left my son's father all financial security, and I, like, made a decision to start over and provide a healthy environment for my son. But I've been tested a lot throughout the way, and I'm grateful for it because it's been progressive and it's allowed me to strengthen my spiritual, like, self to not fall, because it could be really hard in LA, and I pray that I don't, you know, that I don't fall and that his grace continues to strengthen me. But you have to say no to a lot of things if you really want to be an example. I'm not perfect, but, like, if I'm going to talk
That's
about
not what
Jesus,
Roger,
like,
said.
I try to do my part. That's all.
Okay, so I don't even know. And just to clear that up, what because Roger's married and has a family and everything like that. So to be clear, Roger, you guys have known each other though, right? This is how I met you, is through Roger Neal.
Yeah, Roger's
publicist.
Amazing. Is, publicist yes, of yes. every year.
Yes.
I was going to say the other year, but every year.
Ah, you went to the same church. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. Okay. So are you still going there? You still go to Oasis?
I'm not. I'm helping. I'm a part of a church in LA, The Way LA, and they've been such a blessing and I'm part of their campus.
Do you like living? Like, you live in downtown Los Angeles.
Yes.
Do you like living down there?
Well, I like. I was born in New York, so I like the
More
city and luxury and buildings and high rise as opposed to, like, having to mow a lawn. So I love where I live, the street that I live on.
I like mowing lawns.
Yeah, no. I mean, but my vision is to be
not at all. I think we all have turf now. I don't think does anybody still have a lawn in Los Angeles? I think it's outlawed to have a lawn.
I mean, I just like you know, there's a rooftop pool, and it's just like. You know?
Well, that's divine. Sure.
Yeah.
I like that.
But my vision is to live by the water. Like, I want to wake up and I want
Not
these massive
by the rooftop
windows.
Pool.
No, I just want to see the ocean.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you're really, going to really dig in deep there and try to live by the ocean.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Give up a lot of the wonderful lifestyles of
well, I'll trade that for a home in front of the water any day.
By the way, homes, if you're in the home market, not that I'm a real estate person, but they're very inexpensive, specifically like in Malibu, right on the water.
Yeah.
You could live right next to Spielberg for like little to no money.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, yeah, now he has like probably a $50 million house, but the next one over, I'm sure, is, you know, very, very inexpensive.
Hey. I will say something, though, that I forgot, and I don't want to forget to say it, because it's actually really exciting and came up within the past month.
Okay.
For the first time in my life, I've been asked to be, and I've accepted, a role as an executive producer for a new film called Moms Rising.
Wow.
And it's all rooted in manifestation and things of that nature. But my focus is obviously in the scripture and this book, Royalty. But they've worked with, like, they have, like, a connection with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. So, like, another film that they have, Damien Young is a part of it. They've worked with Barbara Corcoran, Rob Dyrdek. So it's an exciting project to be a part of coming out later this year.
So you're going to start producing movies now, too?
As an executive producer.
Wow.
I'm going to have to go to you for some tips.
Oh, sure. Come on.
You definitely know what you're doing. I mean,
we've done a few movies.
Yeah.
No, I look at this 2015 because it kind of sticks out. I don't see too much, you know, that happened in 2015. We started our SVOD, our PureFlix.com, the streaming video on demand part of PureFlix.
I just saw the
2015.
Movie the other day.
Which movie?
literally, it was before you even told me about David A.R. The one with the little girl. What's it called again? Miracles? It's on Pureflix where the bird comes back to life.
Okay. Oh, that's so a part good. Of the beauty of it beauty like about Pureflix is that I don't even know what movie you're talking about, you know. And it's not a plug for Pureflix at all. But there's, you know, there's like 10,000 pieces of content on that on the network now. So, but that's cool. I'm glad it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Did you see Redeeming Love, by the way? Because when you're reading, you're
God, tears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only saw the end of it. I saw like maybe the last 20 or 30 minutes because my mom was like, it's so crazy you say that.
How
literally,
did you see
this
the last
20,
30
week?
Minutes? You came in on Amazon Prime and watched it, or you came in late to the theater because you were watching an Avenger movie and you're like, well, I still got this popcorn left. I'm just going to sneak into this Redeeming Love thing.
Redeeming Love is the one that was like the lady was like a part of the burlesque. She was, or
yeah.
whatever. The,
yeah, yeah.
And
it's based on the best selling book, of, I think, the, one of the best selling women. Christian books of all time.
Yeah. I was like literally in tears at the end.
But you didn't see the whole movie.
I need to go back. It's because my mom, okay, so she's like, she's visiting me from
Florida.
Half
this movie?
And she goes, oh my gosh, Trisha, we got to see this. I've been looking for this movie. My mom is like really fun. She's a character from New York for sure. But she's like, I've been looking for this movie for months. I saw part of it and then it disappeared and I never knew how to find it. And I don't know if it's because she's visited me and she doesn't have her TV, so it doesn't save where she was watching what she was watching last. And then I was like, oh, cool. She's like, yeah, here it is. And then we just saw the last 30 minutes. It was so good.
Well, it is. I think it's on Amazon Prime right now.
Probably. That's how we saw it.
Yeah, because it was flashing. It was like one of their whatever, like a week or two ago. Up there for quite a while. But and I don't even know where. It's everywhere, though. Redeeming Love is everywhere. It was something, though, that we tried for many, many years to make. And it was buried in Hollywood, you know, development forever. And then we ended up getting Cindy Bond bought it out of Fox or somewhere like that, and then came to, and then we met with her and Simon and made that movie down in South Africa. And we've shot a few things down in South Africa. But that is, it's a beautiful movie. I'm so proud of the movie. And it was not an easy thing to make, but certainly you should, if you haven't seen it.
I'm going to watch the whole thing.
And you should watch the whole thing.
The last 20 minutes got me. I can't imagine what the whole thing will do.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I was thinking about that when you were reading your devotional of, because, you know, obviously it's about a woman.
Yeah. Went through some stuff.
Yeah, and God's love and the whole thing. Yeah. Book of Hosea. Okay, so what else do we want to plug here before we're, like, forced to wrap up? Wait, I didn't get back to this. Okay. So how's dating in L.A.? I mean, I think that's probably the question. That's probably, I mean, as much as everything else is wonderful, everybody else wants to know that, you know?
You know?
Is it just because when you have absolutely stunning hair, is it just the easiest thing in the world to do?
Oh, my gosh. I would say that's the hardest part.
Out of all the places in the planet, is Los Angeles the easiest to date?
No, what I would say, and I don't know if it matters where you are, honestly. I could get LA because, like, there's like glitzy things that are distracting. But for me, my biggest journey has been giving that part of my life to the Lord and really surrendering it to Him, which I think it's been beautiful. So I'm just at a really happy place where I'm like, God, let your will be done. I'm so excited. I'm in a full manifestation mode of like, I'm so excited that you're preparing my husband, that you're sending him to me, that he's like coming running to me, and he's a man of God. He fears you. He dedicates time to read the word daily and growing spiritually. So I'm excited about that next chapter, but I've totally given it to God and am waiting for him to make it really clear and reveal who that is.
Is it hard, though, to meet like that was a beautiful, by the way, answer. And we will put that in a magazine. It should be in your book, actually. You're probably right. It's like, actually, it's page 37. I mean this respectfully and truly. At church, how is it dating in church? Like, do you meet people at church? Like, is it like a, you know, do people give numbers out in church, or do they trade Instagrams, or like, how do people do this?
You know, that is a really good question. And like, specifically in my prayer time, I've like literally told God, I give you my heart. So whoever's going to have it has to literally go to you to get the key and unlock it. So I don't know how that works, because they literally have to go to him to get it.
Okay.
So I don't know how that works.
And has there been some strikeouts from some guys like that they thought that they went to him and then they're like, hey, here's a, you know, whatever. I don't even know about the connection. This is a funny conversation to me, though.
Yeah. I would say that there's been, like, last year, I feel like I went ahead of God. Sometimes I think we run ahead of God because we're like, oh, you know? And I don't think that's the way to go because that leads to heartbreak and other things like that. So, like, that's why I'm really determined to do it, like, this way. And it's not traditional as the world sees it, right? It's, like, the way I believe it and the way I'm going about it is, like, it's a courtship. Like, it's being friends with somebody. It's... if you feel that inclination, and my church actually taught me this, and I'm so excited about it, that there could be something and there's a desire, then you literally can, like, just take it up to God. You can fast, you can seek God and see if that's the one. So it's very different.
Do they have, like, single, like, coffee times? You know, like, back when we were, like, in college.
Right.
Or whatever, in that age range, they would always have, like, the single events, you know,
right.
Like, you would meet, you would hang out with other people who were single.
Yeah.
Or I don't really ever remember, like, a married person, you know, wandering around at the coffee donut
place. I think that they do, but I'm kind of new to this church, so I haven't gone to any of their single ministry, or if they have one, I'm not too sure. So... I don't know.
Or even if they have, like, age ranges that they do it in, you know?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
It's a good filter, right?
Somebody should really think about this and make something out of this.
Yeah.
Are you going to write a dating book?
Oh, you have so many good questions, you know?
I think she's being facetious there. I can't quite tell.
No, so many good questions.
I'm going to believe that she actually kind of meant that question.
No, I do. I actually have already designed the cover for it. And
do you
have
really?
The theme.
Yeah. Your dating book?
Yeah.
Wow.
It says we don't need sex.
Okay. That's going to be a popular one.
So that's the name of it. For dating, of course.
Are you referring to, like, the
important.
Men or the women? Like, who doesn't need
Everyone,
sex?
Everyone when you're dating.
Okay.
So obviously,
grandparents maybe, or like parents, or you know, it's interesting. Okay, so my son is like, you know, almost 17 here.
Right.
Yeah, and so you know, the whole high school dating thing is like a weird. He goes to a Christian school, but at the same token, obviously, that doesn't really mean anything, I think. Maybe
I think
it
you
does.
Have to have those real conversations with him.
You do. We do. We have conversations.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a... My dad, I didn't have these conversations with me. I mean, it was kind of inferred and, you know, and then we had whatever. I mean, it wasn't like I grew up... My dad was a pastor, so it wasn't like, you know...
He was,
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting thing how it unfolds even in our youth today. And I don't really know. I haven't talked to enough youths.
Yeah,
is that the word? Youths.
Youth.
You want to put a T in ute?
No, youths.
Youths. Like, I haven't talked to enough youths about their dating and or. Premarital sex and or is it like what say I grew up in Kansas, so that's a whole other thing, you know. Yeah. It's like we didn't have apps or anything else to keep us, not apps, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
iPhones, iPads, all that.
Yeah.
We didn't have as much. So the problem was is maybe there wasn't enough distractions. Maybe there's more distractions now that keeps people from, or I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
Well, I think that...
maybe you could devote a chapter to that in your next book.
Like, as far as the children are concerned. Yeah. I think that one of the things I do with my son, he's 12, is so I didn't have real conversations with my mom who raised me in the church about these things. Obviously, they had, like, the promise ring.
I don't think any parents
like
to talk about it with their kids.
Yeah, but I'm choosing to be different about it with him. So I know he's entering middle school, going to the seventh grade, and I'm just like, listen, there's going to be kids that are going to talk about things and, you know, whether it be pornography or whatever the things are, but listen, this is the way God has intended us to be with. So I'm open with him about it and to let him know, like, you don't want to open a door to the enemy because that's all that's doing. So I am, like, spiritually, like, I very much do speak to him about that. And I think one of the things that I'll start doing with him this next year is praying with him at night, because we pray, we do gratitude and read the scripture, is like praying for his future wife. Because what's that doing? Mm. It's really like spiritual, like you're activating something that's real, but it's also subconsciously reminding him the power and the importance of really, like, you can, you know, give this to the Lord and watch him surprise you in setting that apart. So I think being open about it is key. It wasn't for me, and I went really wild because I felt like I had disappointed God, and I don't want him to feel disappointment. I want him to know that he loves him and that he can, if he makes a mistake, I mean, that's unfortunate. It's okay, but not to run from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. Well, all right. Trisha Love Vargas, thank you so much for dropping an incredible amount of wisdom on us today.
Thank you.
And not even just about hair extensions or magazines or books, or but everything and so many different topics. So you're a delight, and it's been a pleasure to meet you, and I appreciate you, and good luck. And I'll see you at this this event coming up very, very soon, the LA Style Awards. And where is it again?
The Grammy Museum, June 22nd.
Yeah, that's right.
And LAStyleAwards.org.
There it is, LAStyleAwards.org.
We have like 20 left.
Yeah, and if you miss that event, make sure that you get your LA Style
magazine
or book. All right, thanks so much.
Thank you.